If you love me and obey the commands I give you, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Paraclete to be with you always, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot accept, since it neither sees him nor recognizes him. But you can recognize him, because he remains with you and will be within you. I will not leave you orphaned. I will come back to you. A little while now, and the world will see me no more. But you see me as one who has life, and you will have life. On that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who obeys the commandments he has from me is the man who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father. I too will love him and reveal myself to him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Alleluia.
So often we can tell ourselves that it's perfectly all right for a basketball team or a football team to play over its head, to rise to an occasion when the demand is there. But then we remind ourselves that it never does seem fair, on the other hand, when we are asked to play over our heads. In times of sickness or suffering, when there's a death in the family, a crisis that must be resolved, when a close friend places a heavy demand upon us. And afterwards, when we look back and see that during this crisis, we have done well, that for that opportunity, we did really play over our heads and perhaps even played brilliantly. We wonder then, we wonder in astonishment, who are we really? Who are we really? What kind of resources are there deep within our spirit that we are able to call upon in emergencies? What is there that we are not aware of until the time comes when we need them? Every weekend when we attend the Eucharist, we hear the Gospels and the Epistles read to us. They were written by people who were there, who saw and heard Jesus at first hand. And sometimes we might be envious until we become aware that to be there always has both advantages and disadvantages. Some people who were there in the time of Jesus had without a doubt an unforgettable experience that lasted for them a complete lifetime. Other people who were there experienced nothing at all. They saw the events that occurred. They heard Jesus preach the good news. And yet, even though they saw the events, they missed their meaning. They captured physically what happened, but they were not able to grasp the spirit of the event. It means that even though we are there to really understand a person, and with that person is trying to communicate, It means that our spirit must listen to his spirit. Our deep spirit, where God dwells at the very core, must be in tune with that spirit, in this case, the spirit of Jesus. We must learn how to probe beneath the words, beneath the events, in order to catch the spirit, the essence of another person's life and message. And we are able to do that only when the other person has been able to touch something in the very depths of our personality. Only when that other person is able to call forth from deep within us that which is most sensitive, most perceptive, most open to our own soul. And when a man is able to do that, then we know him. Even if we have never seen him, or heard him firsthand, or have no idea what he happens to look like, when another person is able to touch us at the core of our being, then spirit speaks to spirit, and heart speaks to heart. Now in the readings today, as we approach Ascension and Pentecost, we are told that God's Holy Spirit, the Advocate, the Paraclete, the Counselor, is called that not because his role is necessarily to make us feel good or to reassure us, although he does that too, but rather it is God's Spirit calling to us. God's Holy Spirit is God himself calling to us, person to person, stimulating us, and demanding that we play over our heads at whatever occasion it is called upon for us to do so. And that is what Paul means in one of his letters when he says that God's Spirit speaks to our spirit. He means that the Spirit of God calls forth from within us that which is the very best within us. The Spirit of God calls forth within us that which is hidden there, but which is the very best that we have to offer. That the Spirit of God that is given to us at Pentecost always is there within us, appealing to the leading edge, to the fine point, to the very strongest aspects of our personality, urging us to become that which we could be in the most unique way, which makes each of us more special and different than any other person. And Jesus, by revealing the love of the Father to us individually, gives us the courage to take risks with our lives, to put our very lives on the line, to take a risk. That is what the Holy Spirit is all about. That is the kind of motivation that Jesus' Spirit offers to us. And the Holy Spirit goes another step and actually creates as the Paraclete the very situations in which that which is best is able to be called forth from within us. From Jesus we have the motivation, and from the Holy Spirit the challenge and the strength to go ahead and accept the risk, which involves our very life. Now, as Jesus told us in the gospel this morning, the world no longer is able to see Jesus because he has gone to the Father. But the world does continue to see Jesus indirectly because the Spirit of the risen Jesus lives within us, his people. That is why we come to the Eucharist on Sunday, so that all through the week we are able to remain the light in the darkness and the yeast, that the bread might rise. When we go on living in response to this constant invitation to rise to the event. And we do that not when we are dull, mediocre, conformists, but rather we rise to the event that we are called to whenever we are vital, vibrant, and filled with the kind of life that God gave us as his gift. The gift of faith that maintains our life. When the best that is in us is drawn forth by the Spirit, and that is not rhetoric, that is not poetic justice, rather that is simply the gospel truth translated for today from the gospel we just heard a moment ago. And the only way that others will know that the Spirit of the risen Christ is in us is when we, in our own unique way, are able to show forth in our lives and by our actions the kind of love that we are to express. And that takes courage, because the more special, the more unique, the more imaginative we are in the way that we love people when they need it, to that degree the living God is made known in the darkness of the world today. Some people get this all wrong, and they think that the Holy Spirit is supposed to turn you into mindless enthusiasts who go around babbling nothings, or hard sell propagandists who go around thumping Bibles. No. The Holy Spirit never asks you to become zealous, mindless fanatics. That is always counterproductive. By none of these ways is the Father ever made known in the world today. Rather, the Spirit of God is made known in our lives to other people when we are generous, when we are free from fear, from suspicion, when we are able to play over our heads. That is when the Spirit of the risen Christ is released in our lives as people of faith. And that is what we have meant all during these past 6 weeks in our homilies during this Easter season, as we've talked about the friends of Jesus, those people who were there, those who experienced him after he died, those who became his courageous friends, those who are the Eucharistic community today, those who are the people of Easter, those who belong to the Church of the Resurrection. They are the people who in the world today are called upon to be light in darkness. And we ask, how are we most inadequate in that kind of generosity? Are we really playing over our heads in the relationship in our life toward the person or toward the event toward which we owe most love? That is the challenge that is given to us now as the Easter season draws to a close, as we are about to begin to celebrate Pentecost, when the Spirit with fiery flames enters our heart with renewed vigor. We now are invited to open our spirit so that the Spirit of God is able to speak to our spirit. Moves into Pentecost. We are asked and invited to
to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our spirit, because the Holy Spirit lives within our spirit. The Holy Spirit will speak to us.